Mini episode 143 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by TV Howl, your home on the web for coverage of today's television scene and a look at the history of the medium as covered by big-time TV critic Adam Buckman. Follow them on the web at tvhowl.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello and welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 143. I'm FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris, and we're here today with part one of our conversation with longtime national newsman Russ Mitchell, who left CBS earlier this year to take over news anchoring and managing editor duties at WKYC NBC3 in Cleveland.
It's a true pleasure to be able to do this. It's about 6 months too late to say this, Russ, but welcome to the Cleveland area.
Rick, thank you so much. It's good to be here.
It's a pleasure, and thank you for your hospitality as we are taping this here at WKYC. A pleasure to be able to do this. Again, with your background in local news and having returned to it over the course of the last 6 months, that I'm curious, were there things that stuck with you back in the day when you were coming up that made you think, I may want to go back and do this again someday? Was it just a matter of more organic than that, of reaching a point where you wanted to try something new? How long had this been in your mind, essentially, to return to local news?
I had thought about returning to local news for a while. In fact, I almost went back to local news about 10 years ago, and it didn't work out for a variety of reasons, and it's one of those things where things happen for a reason, and I'm really glad that it didn't happen then, because I had another great 10 years at the network. When this opportunity came along, I had been thinking for, I guess, the last 2 years seriously about returning to local TV. And what I remembered about it, of spending 10 years in local TV prior to going to CBS, is just how accessible everything was, and how, as a local TV reporter and anchor, you're able to have a pretty big impact in the community. At least the potential is there to have that. You can become involved in things that interest you. You can do things to make a difference in a more direct way. The network is fantastic. I had a wonderful time there. I had some experiences that I thought I would never have in my life. But when I thought about coming back to local TV and changing things in that way, the big attractions were trying to make a difference and you know, doing something at a station to kind of become a part of a community. And I got to tell you, I looked at a lot of places, and Cleveland just seemed like a perfect fit. It's a great town. And I've been here, as you said, I've been here about 6 months, and so far so good. I really like it.
Well, as far as the decision to look at local, I'm just curious about this, because you alluded to this, that again, as far as getting a chance to do some big things, and you really did, when you look at some of the bookends of recent history, being on the air on 9/11, being the gentleman who was anchoring the night of the bin Laden mission being announced. Does it make it easier in that sense, knowing that you've done some things? I mean, when they're cracking open the time capsules 100 years from now, those moments are going to be there. Does it make it a little bit easier knowing that you've done that already?
I'm very proud of the opportunities that I had at CBS. I mean, I had some, as you said, a couple of those are really bookends there, 9/11 and the capture of bin Laden. I'm really proud of those. All my professional career prior to going to the network, and even before that in college, I had this dream of being a network correspondent, and I'm one of those people that got to do that for a long time and got to cover some great stories. And, you know, when I look back on it and I look at those stories, I would like to think that it's at some point, you know, down the road when we're looking at history and looking at that period of history when I was at CBS, there'll be at least a couple of moments there that that people will see that I was a part of.
Well, it's interesting, too, because when we were talking recently on the show to your friend and your one-time colleague, Rebecca Jarvis, this was a question that came up as far as the times that we live in and the turbulence of these times and everything that you're dealing with, arguably the last decade or so being the most turbulent one since that period of Vietnam and Watergate. Is there a sense in going to local news, I mean, you're not as immersed in that day-to-day as far as the national picture, and it's been kind of a bleak one. It doesn't necessarily look to be getting better anytime soon. Is it something that when you're involved in it day-to-day, that something that can try your spirit a little bit, or is that something that you really haven't had a problem with?
I think it's like anything else in this job, whether you're working at a network, at a local station in Cleveland, or a local station in Timbuktu. I think as a reporter, you do things to remove yourself from the story. You know, you've got a job to do, and you see some things that are bleak. You cover some stories that are bleak, and as a human being, you can't help but feel for that situation. But in terms of doing your job, you have to take that out of the equation for at least that particular moment. The story I tell to people is 9/11. I was just like everybody else who was covering the story in New York and Washington, and probably Boston too at that point. I was working 2 and 3 straight weeks, you know, 10, 14 hours a day, and didn't really have a chance for what had happened to sink in. And I remember, it must have been about 2.5 weeks after 9/11, so let's say about the 15th to the 20th of September, I was walking home in Manhattan, and it hit me like a truck, what I had experienced the last 2 weeks, the things that I had seen, the people that I spoke to, the stories that I heard. And really, I'm not ashamed to tell you, I just broke down right there because it just came back and hit me. So when you look at these kind of situations, you're covering them on a day-to-day basis, you can't let them get to you at the moment. You have to do your job. And again, it doesn't matter where you are, whether it's at the network or in local TV as well.
That's interesting. I mean, that's akin to a lot of times what you'll hear from the medical professionals, that you have to be careful not to let it, you know, just really drag down your spirits too much. It's good that you were able to do that. And yet, it's very interesting. You get to the Cleveland market. You're not here very long. And one day, not long after you're here, I flip on the news and I see you out there in Chardon. You talk about things that are unforeseen, and clearly you couldn't have imagined something like that when you took the job here. But I know it's a cliche when you talk about the best and the worst of a community. You saw the worst of it in the shootings that happened there, and maybe the best of it in the reactions of the people. So what was that like for you coming into this area not long after you had taken this job and immediately being thrust into that situation?
That was an interesting day for me personally, because I was in New York that day, and I was sitting on the tarmac at LaGuardia early that morning, and my boss, Rita Andelson, the news director, called me up on my cell phone and said, there's been a shooting in Chardon High School. And we talked about it for a minute. I said, okay, I get to Cleveland, I'll call you right back. By the time I got to Cleveland on the plane, the whole plane was talking about what had happened, the advent of cell phones. Everyone knew at that point what was going on. This is where I think as a journalist my network experience came in handy. I got to town, went to my relocation apartment here, changed and got into my suit, and went out to Chardon, and was able to get the lay of the land pretty quickly, and was able to talk to people about what had happened and try to get a sense of what's happening there. You talk about the best and the worst of the community. Of course, obviously what happened was horrible. But in the weeks and months, the days, really the hours after that, you saw how tough this community was. You saw how community leaders came together to put that community, make that community whole again. What struck me as remarkable about what they did that week was this shooting happened on a Monday. By Friday, those kids were back in school. You know, I've covered school shootings before where kids didn't come back for weeks, and in some cases, the kids didn't come back at all for the school year. These folks were able to get their community together, able to get the students together, able to get the parents together, and come back to school by Friday, and I think that's a testament to that community and everything that it did to make itself whole again. And I got to tell you, I covered the Chardon High School graduation a few weeks ago, and you talk about bookends. That was an incredible moment to see those kids get up there and graduate after the remarkable year that they have had.
That's tremendous. That had to be very uplifting to get a chance to see that and to see them persevering through that. But you came into that situation that was just so otherworldly. But there have been a number of other things, really, since you got here in the last 6 months. It's been a very active time in this community. Cleveland, all of a sudden, is now a casino town. There's a couple other things that have happened here. Anarchists plotted to blow up a bridge. Very interesting. It's not even one of the more trafficked bridges in this town, which I found interesting. They're not even very competent anarchists. But, you got that. You got
Jimmy DeMora.
Jimmy DeMora, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kent State. I saw the one night I think you guys led with it. Kent State making the College World Series.
Right.
So many interesting things that have happened since you've been here. This is shaping up, it seems like, in many ways to be a transformational year in Cleveland. We haven't even gotten to the convention center that's supposed to open next year. So what's it like for you coming into a community that really does seem to be in a state of flux right now?
It's a community that I see on the move. I'm from St. Louis originally, and Cleveland and St. Louis are very similar in that they're former industrial towns that are changing. Mm-hmm. That it once saw better days and are now seeing a comeback. And I definitely see that with Cleveland. There's clearly a momentum here. I've been living downtown for the last 6 months in a relocation apartment. My family's going to come up in August after the kids have finished school and summer school and all that kind of stuff. So I'm living downtown, and I'm seeing it firsthand. I'm seeing people come to restaurants. I'm seeing this casino that you mentioned open and seeing the electricity around there. I'm seeing all this construction in downtown Cleveland, which, of course, is fantastic to see. So it's great to be a part of a community that is having this wave of activity take place right now. And that part of it is a lot of fun for me.
I can imagine that that's the case, too. There's, of course, been transformation in your surroundings on more of a micro level, in that you coming in here this year, part of a lineup shift here at Channel 3, something that was very interesting, that the personality at the station, probably second best known nationally due to the Cleveland Browns and the fact that there's worldwide Browns backers clubs, actually more Browns backers clubs than any other pro teams supporters. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, and of course, longtime sportscaster
Great
at this
guy.
Station, yes, and somebody who, and this is something I found very interesting, now doing the news at 7 o'clock. So what's that been like? I mean, I imagine he's probably been in your ear trying to get acclimated on that and probably trying to take advantage of what you have to tell him on that.
Jimmy Donovan, I got to tell you, is one of the best broadcasters I've ever worked with. I say this to him, and I've said it on the air, and I'll say it to anybody who will listen. It is a joy for me to sit there and watch him work.
Mm-hmm.
He is just the consummate professional, and he doesn't need any advice from me at all. To watch him work is quite inspiring. When he does the sportscast, it's 6 and 11 sometimes, he does it without a teleprompter. Mm-hmm. He's there. He knows what he's talking about. He knows the players. The players know him. It's fun to watch him, and I'm privileged to work with him. You know, Betsy Kling and Chris as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy is, and we'll all say the same thing if you were to get us in a room, mm-hmm. Jimmy is truly an inspiration. And when I look at some of the broadcasters that I've had the opportunity to work with throughout mm-hmm. my career, and again, I've been very lucky. I've been able to work alongside some heavyweights. Jimmy Donovan is right up there. He's fabulous.
Absolutely. He's a tremendous talent. And so it's a thing. I find this very interesting. So you're saying that the switch to doing news, he's still doing sports, obviously, as you said, at 6 and 11, but picking up news, I mean, that is, on the surface, such a big change, but it does seem to be something that's gone fairly seamlessly for him.
Yeah, I think he's doing great with that, and I haven't noticed any issues he has with mm-hmm. it at all. He seems to have taken to it like a fish. He does very well.
Interesting, yeah, the Naturals always do pick things up pretty easily.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Paper Mate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.